Hello, friends. Here we are again. It's Rachel here on A Heart Refined, and you probably can hear my cat. He has jumped up purring into the mic. I've been away quite a bit, and so he is wanting the attention. But here we are on A Heart Refined with James for You. This is chapter 6 of the book James for You, but we're in chapter 3 of the book of the Bible, James. And last week, we had such a powerful discussion on faith. We're working together to discover the difference between works-based faith and faith-based works. It's important for us to realize or to differentiate between the two. That line can be super easily blurred. So out of our behaviors and our responses, that really is a reflection of where we stand with it. Now, I know lately, or throughout this study, it seems to have been a staple in our conversations on the importance of removing the moral filth, or as King James calls it, the superfluity of naughtiness that so easily entangles. And we can get pretty quickly give ourselves a pass because we've got it covered. Like, right, we say, I have taken care of this life. I'm doing pretty good. I'm not nasty. I don't do gross things. I don't do like openly rebellious things. Yet we realize that all of us, we kind of flinch when we start to talk about controlling our mouths, and that's where we're here today. Everybody sort of giggles when we talk about it and we say, well, I have trouble controlling my tongue. Well, the scripture supports that statement that we have trouble controlling our tongue, and there's a reason why that we do. I think there's other areas of our life where we make this crystal clean claim because we know, or we think that we're clear, but we can't make that claim on our tongues. We know that these flaming things in our mouth drag us off into our own personalized sinful pit of feeling and worthless opinion. Do you ever think about that? Like, you just yak your jaws based on your feelings. And I think a lot of times we miss the point that God is a fact. The love of Jesus is a fact. The movement of the Holy Spirit is a fact. Therefore, it's not that your feelings don't matter. They do, because they move you. But your feelings are also changed when you accept the fact of our triune God. And so that actually changes your opinion on things, and it's not so worthless anymore. So just to get us started, there's a way you have used your tongue, perhaps recently, you know, and I want you to ask yourself this question. Maybe it's even years ago that you had to repent of and make right, and you had to seek forgiveness for. So get that into perspective as we begin to talk. I'll tell you this, I do a little confession here. There were several weeks ago, a couple months ago, actually, I was in a conversation, and I was with married women, and we were laughing and joking about the things of marriage, and it then went slightly off color. It was funny, but it was not appropriate in what we were saying, what I was saying, actually. I'm going to be clear on that. And we laughed it off and whatever, and then I had to come back later. And I had to apologize for that. I recognized that in the moment, I jumped on a funny thought because it's a blast to laugh. I live a serious life. I do a lot of amazing, I'm allowed to do a lot of amazing things, but in that seriousness, sometimes I lose sight of laughter. I just completely don't. And so when I got in that moment, I got carried away. But in that confession, it also spurred us all on to go on and make sure that our conversations, that God gains from them, that he is glorified, and that people know him through not only our perfect conversation, but also our confession when we go too far. And so anyways, I want you to think of that. We're all human. We make mistakes. And I have to confess, you know, in my former life, and I'm not meaning that in any way about reincarnation, just in who I used to be, who I used to live as, that dirty jokes or bad language or whatever, it was just a part of the conversation, and it was what actually what drove a lot of the conversation. And so I recognize that that's still a default place in my mind, because that level of toxic behavior, it damages you. And so to move away from that is imperative, and to move into God's word in order to move away from that, to take that captive and to make it obedient to Christ. That's the most important thing, because that's the only way you can truly ever leave that lifestyle. So I praise the Lord for his word, and I praise the Lord for his forgiveness, and I praise the Lord for being able to live in that forgiveness and free of shame. But also free to make the best choices the next time. So anyways, normally I would start us off in scripture. I'm going to move on. I'm talking too much there, but normally I'd start us off in scripture. But today let's start in reading the book, and then we'll transition into scripture, of course. I thought that using parts of the summary of the tongue, and starting on page 92 in the book, James, for you, and some of you don't have that, and that's fine, but that's going to give us that proper perspective. So listen, I'm going to be reading quite a bit, but listen at this flow of what he says. It's so powerful. The tongue is a world of evil. It stands out from the other parts of the body by this one dreadful distinction. This cannot be said of any other part of the body in the same way. The tongue has a capacity for evil like nothing else. You can't imagine whole sections of the book of Proverbs being taken up with the use and misuse of the elbow or the toe, but the tongue is an entire ecosystem of sin, a world in itself. Continents of wickedness, vast, uncharted interiors of another number of evils. The potential for any number of world-changing horrors lies right there in your mouth. It corrupts the whole body. And the tongue's awful capabilities is unique in the human body. And now we see that it actually affects the whole body. Every other part of the body is unlike it, and yet devastated by it. Every area of life is scorched and charred by its fires. Nothing is beyond its impact. We hear echoes of Jesus' own teachings that it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles someone. And that's out of Matthew 15:11. Havoc is wreaked everywhere. In the search for weapons of mass destruction, we really only need to look in the mirror and open our mouths. Ouch. It is set on fire by hell. Why, when our tongues have the potential to do untold good as well as untold bad, do they so often seem to incline to wreaking such havoc? James points us to the spark that fuels all other sparks. Our words are so destructive because they are, in fact, hellish. If we all speak with the same unpleasant moral accent, it is because all our words hail from exactly the same place. All that spoken fire spewed from all those lives through all history and across the world has its origin here. Our tongues are satanic. Discouraging as this is, it should not surprise us. The reason the tongue is beyond our control is because of what it is, the outflow of our hearts. And because this is so, this is a very humbling passage. We do well to feel its force and confess to God and ourselves its truth. You know, man, isn't that powerful, right? Like I think that we think that we're actually good on the inside, but we realize, and I've spoken about this a lot through the duration of this study, and I speak about this very often when the places that I speak or the clients that I talk to, we're wretched. But I'm telling you, it's really freeing for us to come to that place of saying, I'm actually not good enough or not strong enough. I'm not enough. And since I'm not enough, I need the one who is. And that gives you freedom. You sort of stop having to be a perfectionist and you trust God. You allow God to be God. And then you let yourself not be God since you're not. So, you know, over the years, the power of the tongue has made more and more sense to me. I mean, I can remember this moment where I recognized that in the Bible, heaven and hell and the tongue are referenced as fire. Now I have. I've challenged myself privately, and I've used this publicly to, I mean, encouraging people to decide which camp you stand in. Like, are you going to represent, which fire are you going to represent with your tongue or with your mouth? However, I realize now that that challenge is a little flawed, simply because no matter how motivated we feel, the tongue is a beast that cannot be tamed by human effort alone. There, we're lying to ourselves. We lie to ourselves again and again if we think that we can tame it on our own. Now, we're going to wrap up today. I feel like that's a strong way to start this week, but we're going to start in tomorrow and reading the scripture, and that's going to point us, of course, in the perfect direction towards the heart of Jesus, the will of the Father. That's where we'll go tomorrow. All right. Have a great day. Talk to you soon.